Welcome to the Produce Industry Podcast, your weekly download on current events, trends, market reports, and community discussions. Join us each week from Tampa, Florida, as we cover all aspects of the produce supply chain industry. Ladies and gentlemen, here's your host, Patrick Kelly.
Welcome back to the Produce Industry Podcast, everybody. I'm your host, Patrick Kelly. As always, I am honored to be here coming to you live from Tampa, Florida. Today is September 23rd, 2020, and we are in day three of United Fresh Washington Policy Conference. Now, the Washington Conference normally is an annual event that unites the produce industry to address the most pressing public policy matters, but this year, it has gone virtual. And as I discussed yesterday, this is my first time attending the conference, so I'm writing some notes for the podcast, but then also learning about my own business and how I can be an advocate for the produce industry as well. I want to give a huge shout out to Chris Kremitzos. It's his birthday today. Chris is also someone who helped me start the Produce Industry Podcast right in the midst of COVID. And if you don't know Chris, check out PodFest Multimedia and you will get to know all about Chris and how to start ugly. All right, so kicking off today was the election 2020 live general session at noon, followed by the Fresh Cut Processors Board meeting from 1:30 to 2:30, and then from 3 to 4, the concurrent education sessions, What's the Future of Federal Nutrition Programs and Managing Workforce Challenges in a COVID-19 Environment. And then from 6 to 7, Election Night Celebration. That's right, we are going to have a poll of who we think is going to win the next election. We will also have a quick chat with Mark Munger from 4 Earth Farms. So, without further ado, let's jump right into Election 2020 General Session. All right, so the general session today. Tom had some opening remarks for today's session. It was sponsored by Grimway, Cal Organic, and Crunch Pack. So a couple cool sponsors that were actually making this event happen. But today it was really focused on having two of our Democratic and Republican parties both on the call. Now, everybody that was on this call was talking about how mad respect they had for one another, and then they could both be in the same room because one was a Democrat and one was a Republican. And so I was interested to see, or actually hear, both these gentlemen talk about it. So we had Ray Starling, the President Donald Trump's campaign representative and former chief of staff to U.S. Secretary of Agriculture, Sonny Perdue. And then we had Tom Vilsack, Vice President Joe Biden's campaign representative and former United States Secretary of Ag. And in this call today, we heard from Republican and Democrat. So what is the next 4 years going to look like under either Republican or the Democratic presidency? So first, Ray Starling started out talking about President Donald Trump and what it will look like if he is reelected for the produce industry or for the entire agriculture industry. And three things he had to say: people, ideas, and big picture, right? So people are a policy, and it's really how to get everybody together, right? I mean, how can you get into these meeting rooms that start these bills and start these processes before they even get to the president or before they even get to the secretaries? So that's the crazy thing about this, is you have to start at the lower levels. You can't just start crying to the president of the United States in a pandemic, right? And I've heard this from so many today. Molly Van Loo said it. It's like, how can we prevent this in the future? How can we start to create new policies to be put in place to correct this? Not to just like say, oh, we're going to have an easy button, but it'll be a help button to be able to navigate through uncertain times. So again, I'm learning a little bit more. I'm learning that there are these rooms, right? And what I mean by that is I've been to a lot of these meeting rooms at the state capitol in Sacramento with California Citrus Mutual. And really, you're talking to your elected official. You're talking to them, giving them stories. What's happening on the farm? What's happening on the field and on the horizon, right? What's happening in the packing houses? What's happening in the supply chain? And the more they know about this, it really is better. Now, how do you get into these people, right? You're thinking, wait a minute, how do I'm so small, I'm just a small little farmer, or I'm just a small packing house, or I'm just this wholesaler or distributor here. How do I get to these people? listen, it starts at the local level. Start introducing yourself as a local business in the community, right? Writing letters, sending emails, and introducing. Invite them out to your facility, right? Invite them out and tell them about your business, right? It's storytelling. Think about when you're pitching a customer. It's all about your story, where you've come from, what you're doing, and how you're impacting the community in today's world. Number two, need more ideas and less ideology. I liked this one because I think that we are starting to see that change. I've talked about change over the last 10 years. And as my buddy Hans always tells me, you know, visionaries see change way further than they're supposed to. And that's what's cool about this. Ideas, he said. Ideas, we need more ideas, right? So I think that's a great role. As younger people are coming up, they're coming up with new innovative ideas. And someone said the other day, I mean, we aren't seeing too many of the older generation coming up with these brilliant ideas. It's the younger generation, right, coming up with these things. And that's what we need to focus on. And don't get me wrong, everyone, pat yourself on the back. But yes, there are older generations coming up with fantastic ideas as well. But when you're an older person, you look to the youth for what's next. You know, just like Alex DeNova said at, you know, yesterday's conference, he's like, I've got six kids. I have them help me on some of the innovative products of what we should do. And think about it. That's such a great idea to do that. Next, Ray talked about and gave us a little bit of history on the Farmers to Families Box Program and the role the USDA played procuring that food box program for low-income people or everybody within the environment today. So it's crazy. And I've said this on other podcasts in the past that you think the USDA came up with this program on the whim. It's been in the process. So in 2017, they pitched a program called the Harvest Box Program, which was very similar to this Farmers to Families Box Program. They were laughed out of the room, he said. What? Are you kidding me? They were before their time, right? 3 years ago, there was not a program that we would have seen this would have worked for. The supply chains were there. There was enough produce. Yes, there's still food waste, and we talk about this all the time. There's food waste all across the board, but it just wasn't there yet. And then as we fast forward into 2020, we're in the midst of COVID, and then all of a sudden, boom, $3 billion investment has been put in to a program that was really pitched in 2017. And data shows the USDA has been doing these DTC studies since 2018. So this program, yes. Was it very fast? Yes. Did they make the decision very quick? Yes. Were some people mad? Yes. Guess what? Did they get over it? Yes. And listen, they keep saying this is a win-win-win. And the company that I work for participated in round one supplying citrus to one of those contractors, to a wholesaler that had the actual contract. And it did. It worked out for us. So we played a role in it, and it seemed like a lot of other people played a role in that. So it was an idea just simply ahead of its time. And I think in the future, there is going to be something more with this. I think that there's going to be technology coming out that is going to help deliver produce directly to families across America. And I'm just excited to see what the produce industry has in store. Ray also made a good point that stuck out to me was to deny attention is to deny the future. So ignoring that these current events will not be okay in the future. And then last but not least, big picture. He talked about the big picture of agriculture and how Donald Trump, our president, is here for agriculture all the way. So according to Ray, he's here to protect ag. But next, before we make our decision, we want to hear from Secretary Vilsack, Vice President Joe Biden's campaign representative. Now, Secretary Vilsack talked about Joe Biden's importance of agriculture. He said if Joe Biden was here, he'd be talking about the great state of Delaware, how it's an ag state, and how the fruits and veggies are from Delaware. I'd love to hear more about that as well. He also said that roughly 20% of American business is related to the agricultural industry. So it kind of puts us on a pendulum where we kind of swing when it comes to the American economy. And it seems like 20% is a pretty good number for the produce industry. Secretary Vilsack said that the first job of Mr. Joe Biden will be to control the virus. So he knows that building a new resilient supply chain and redirecting focus is what is needed for the agriculture industry. He said that he noticed food was being dumped and destroyed in farms across America. Joe Biden wants to make sure that this does not happen ever again. He wants to put infrastructures in place that'll help pivot from cold storage to food banks in the near future. So this is really saying we can probably transform this Farmers to Families program could have happened a little bit quicker, or we might not have needed it if we already had the infrastructure in place. He also went on to say that Trump has not improved the food supply chain as promised, and there was many promises that he made to the agriculture and food supply chain industry that he has not kept. Under Joe Biden's administration, they talked about expanding the food system so it was easily available to purchase fresh fruits and vegetables, no matter where. So they need to have a stable workforce. They talked about having a stable workforce. There's a lot of unemployment in today's economy. And Joe Biden's, I would say, his campaign and his representatives are saying that they would like to see a stable workforce. There's a broken immigration system. It was interesting that even brought up the wall and said that that wall has not even been a quarter of the way complete. I kind of chuckled at that point because it is interesting. We did hear about the wall, and they also said, and when I say they, we're still talking with Secretary Vilsack, but he talked about the Biden deal. So what's the Biden deal, you might ask? So this is to mitigate the next discussion of some type of climate change, right? So the Biden deal is to where he's going to be the one to mitigate and help with climate change, if I understand that. And that's very interesting as well. They talked about the forest fires. They talked about all these things that climate change could or could not be affecting. New income for farmers, healthy soil, cleaner water, more resources. Under Joe Biden's campaign, they talked about that they're going to be hiring or bringing in new research firms that will help with these things. Healthy soil, cleaner water, more research. So these are firms that we believe, or they believe, that will help increase it. They're going to use science and technology. Secretary Vilsack also stated a need for greater transparency and create a less divided nation. There's no difficult situation to take on if we take it on together. Secretary Vilsack also had a lot to say about exports. Secretary Vilsack explained under Joe Biden's administration, they are going to heavily support export communities and building relationships with other countries. So it was great to hear from Mr. Starling and Secretary Vilsack on both of what they thought the administration would look like under the Democratic and the Republican Party if and who is elected president. I am not going to tell you my vote because I am voting at the event tonight. So you better be there at the election event, the live for United Fresh, so you can cast your vote and see who is going to be the next president of the United States under our own voting system. We also had some great conversations with Robert Gunther and Frank Luntz. It was really great to hear from Frank and his passion towards the industry. He talked a little bit about his health over the last few years. So we put out our thoughts and our prayers to him. And we want to make sure he gets as much fresh cherries as possible, whether it's dried cherries, whether it's regular cherries. Listen, he said no fruit, the concentrate, no puree. He's got to have good fresh cherries. I know it's out there and we can do it for him. So it was really good to hear his political thoughts and really walk us through, you know, the character of Biden, the agenda for Trump, and you know what side of the factor he's on. There was a lot of other things that he brought to the table. He talked about some words that Trump should be using at this point, or phrases. I know one of them that I remember was, "I have to earn your trust." You know, that's pretty big for me. I think that we have to earn a lot of people's trust. And, you know, being in the produce and supply chain industry, I talk about this all the time, even when I'm on the podcast, right when I get into everybody that I'm talking to, what do I say? Hey, we met here. This is how we did things. Everything is about relationships. And that's something key that I'm learning from this Washington conference. And everybody that I have spoke to has been very generous and said, man, you would love this if you were on Capitol Hill, if you joined us in Washington, you know, this difference that you'd make, the people that you talk to. I can't wait to see you next year. And I think it's about building community. I mean, community. Mark Munger talked about it. Mark Klompin talked about it. Alex DeNova talked about it. And it's really about standing up, making an impact, and engaging. So it's like, what is it going to do for you? I think that you getting involved and telling your story is what's going to happen, because no one's ever going to know about you if you do not tell your story. The same thing when we're in sales, everyone. You got to tell your story to get to the next step. They got to know who you are and where you came from to be able to understand you and help make a difference, right? So moving on to the next session, I joined the Fresh Cut Processors board meeting, and it was really interesting. So there was a lot of people on this call. I saw Randy Nelson from RFG, Sparky from Monterey Mushrooms, Aaron Hutchinson from United. DeVille Technologies was actually sponsoring this. A shout out to Jonathan Buettner. Him and I connected at United Fresh back in June. We did a small interview on the podcast. I sent him one of my books, Millennial Boom. He is a brand new father. So if you get a chance to talk to Jonathan, I'll reach out to him, congratulate him for becoming a new dad in 2020, and really just an all-around a great guy. So it's good to see him on the call. I took a screenshot just so, because I saw his name up there, and obviously, you know, proud to see him making a difference as well. But really, this talked about the Fresh Cut Processors board. They talked about the resources, they talked about a lot of different things, and they actually had Jonah Parker on from IRI Fresh Data. So there's more consumers at home, there's more kids at home because everybody's in e-learning. People want to know more, and they want to know more local. So there was this era of produce presentation that was rapidly changing in the consumer environment that we talked about. What's changed to reinforce and reshape the food retail world? I mean, major factors are top of mind for consumers in 2020. Homebound, how many mouths to feed, community engagement, economic uncertainty. There's so many things that are unpredictable in the fresh cut world. Now, the pandemic did open up fresh produce purchasing to lower income consumers as the SNAP benefits and online shopping expanded. So there were some increases in buying for the households between incomes of 25 to say 35,000, and even levels of income between 15,000 and lower, as well as income of 100,000 and higher, looking at dollar share. So it looks like there were levels of increased produce, which obviously helps the fresh cutout as well. But they had a little bit of a different time. Shoppers are making fewer trips, but they're spending more. 14% more fresh produce sales and pounds March through August 2020 than a year ago. I mean, that's crazy. So dollars per trip has changed year over year. Average basket size has changed year over year. It's all changing due to this new COVID mindset, this pandemic. And how are we going to forecast that? That's another thing that's going to be interesting. Me, I use ag tools for a lot of my business, and I'm not just pulling a pun in here because they're a partner of ours on the podcast. Since I've developed a relationship with ag tools as well, I started using those tools to help forecast and help with sales and marketing and forecasting and news reports. But it's going to be interesting with all tools on what we're going to use. I mean, this is IRI data. What are we going to use to forecast next year with this whole pandemic? I mean, produce sales trends, you know, are paced in line with fresh, but they're often trailing just above and then below. So how are we going to go through this? Are we going to count the pandemic? Are we going to say, hey, wait a minute, let's just do a margin of error? I don't know. It's going to be interesting. So shoppers also favor fresh when extra money is available. I mean, I kind of agree with that. Critical for all retailers though, right? Food suppliers to factor in fresh in weeks ahead. So what are the top two you would think are the top purchases among consumers in the stores? I'm going to tell you, buy more meat, chicken, turkey, beef, pork. 100%. That's number one. Number two, buy fresh fruits and vegetables. I was going to say fresh produce, but fresh fruits and vegetables. So again, it's on the list. It's just how much more are we going to sell? So there's plans for future payment. You know, there's all types of things that we looked at when looking at how the shoppers are evaluating this, their use of how they purchased beforehand. There's all types of things that they're looking at. So the COVID-19 pandemic affected consumers all across the world, all across the nation too, right? We want to talk about the U.S. a little bit, but all across the world, okay? So what are shoppers telling us? And this is what I learned from the presentation. So 91 to 100% of meals are prepared at home, okay? 44% spent 20 minutes or less in the grocery store on a regular trip, less than before COVID-19. And 49% is the biggest challenge is either new meal ideas or lack of inspiration to cook. Oh man, I know that's a big one because, I mean, lack of meal inspiration, it's like, what are we gonna do for dinner? You might have all the products, but you might not know what to cook. That happens to me all the time. I mean, all the time. Then again, something I thought that was interesting is they did a grocery mass online search, you know, for orange search or cut apples or immunity search, you know, what needed to be done. And trying to find the fresh consumer outlets online that sell these was interesting. There wasn't many of them. So direct to consumer online stores for fresh cut. Who's doing that? I know there's a few of you guys out there, but again, that's going to start really ramping up, I would say, between 2020 and 2021. A couple other things that I got from this was, you know, they talked about the whole produce grew faster than cut fruit by pounds. They also talked a little bit about, you know, specialty meats and mash, you know, groceries and the club store versus the discount grocery, traditional grocery versus specialty health grocery stores. A lot of different numbers were in there, but really moving forward, this talked about supporting the fresh cut industry. As you know, a lot of the grab and go sections are down in the stores. They're not letting them happen. These prepackaged meals or the assembly line to get your food is not there, or it's not stocked as much as it was before. And restaurants are down. So prepackaged meals as well, that a lot of these cut fruit processors or the meal processors packaged before going to the restaurants or food service companies are not there anymore either, and definitely down. And it was great to hear from the Fresh Cut Processors Board. And I'm hoping to have someone from that board be on our call coming up on Friday that's going to talk with a grower, a packer, a wholesaler, and hopefully a Fresh Cut Processor. So moving on, we went into the concurrent education session. What is the future of federal nutrition programs? Now this had Mark Munger, who we're going to talk to next, Jacqueline Schneider, and Katie Wilson. North Bay sponsored this event today, and it was all about talking about how we can keep funds coming for federal nutrition programs, supporting low income, make sure that children are the number one priority in getting food to them. The USA has the highest rate of obesity around the globe, I found out today. That's not coming from me. That's what was said in the conference today. So that was interesting as well. So it's really important to get fresh fruits and vegetables out to our communities. We talked a little bit about the Farmers to Families Box Program. 95% of fruits and vegetables, though, are non-fresh. And what they mean by that is fresh frozen, okay? So frozen fruits, frozen vegetables, which is in that. So restaurants also, I found out today, they're going to open November 1st. So there is a plan to get this country back open at least 50%. But as someone mentioned to me, they said, yeah, but 50%, I still have 100% of my bills to pay. Hey, listen, we understand. Trust me. If you live in a huge city like Michael Music does over up in New York, I mean, yes, they're going to be hunkered down. They're going to figure it out. I learned more about the WIC program today, how to increase WIC fruit. So what they're trying to do, and I say they, our industry, but we need your help, is we're trying to increase the WIC fruit program from $9 to $35 a month for kids 5 and under. That's important because if you're a citrus grower, an apple grower, or any of those other growers, packing houses, you want to make sure that gets to $35, that the government's getting that money into the program so you're able to pitch your program and get it in. And remember, you can't get it in unless you say something. No one's going to know about you unless you pitch up and start talking about your programs and what you have going on. Also, programs I learned about today was Fresh Fruits and Veggies for Children in a Pandemic Act, $35 monthly benefit to the PEBT card. I think that's great as well. I think if you have an EBD card, it should be allowed to buy fresh fruits and vegetables on it. If you're allowed to use your EBT card to go and get a fresh sub from Publix, you should be able to use an EBT card to go get some bananas from Publix. It was also interesting to hear from Katie Wilson, the executive director of Urban School Fund, about what they're doing, you know, what was happening within Georgia and not receiving more bulk food anymore or bulk fruit. Think about it. Bulk means like a 40-pound carton. I guess now we had to switch and everything had to be bagged or it had to have the cellophane on it. So that was interesting that some counties and some districts for their schools wouldn't allow bulk food. So they had to adapt and pivot to that. So what is the future for schools? You know, they had to identify children. They had to identify that that child was actually enrolled in that school when coming to pick up school lunches for the curbside food. There's new technology being put in place. There's new accountability protocols. I mean, pretty much she said there was complete chaos, but they were trying to figure out how and the best way to service all of these counties. And they're learning new ways today on how to service them. So I thought that was very interesting as well. They had a very good video on the Farmers to Families program. I did a small video on my YouTube channel. You got to check it out on the Produce Industry Show. But I traveled to Grand Rapids, Michigan, as we supplied citrus to one of the first round of the Farmers to Families box program. And I did a small video as the best that I could, obviously, due to privacy of the companies we were dealing with. But I thought their video was awesome. But check out mine if you have a chance on the Produce Industry Show on YouTube. And next, it was great to hear from Mark Munger. We're going to talk with him next for Earth Farms, but he was involved in the Farmers to Families box program since day one, okay? So he talks a lot about how many boxes he shipped. He went over pretty much the win-win-win mentality. Again, for Earth Farms pretty much stepped up, set up, connected with growers, procured product, and put them in the hands of people. Payments were under 10 days. Cash is king. Content is king. And it was great. 18-pound boxes, tree fruit, avocados, broccoli, cauliflower, citrus, apples, you name it. As he said, opportunity zones. And I thought that was very cool. They identified 96 million boxes have gone through this program, $3 billion invested into the program, and about $1 billion to $1.2 billion have been dedicated to fresh produce. But we have to fight for this program. But the talk is in legislative that the Farmers to Families program is going to end after round three. So we need to keep telling how important it is to Secretary Sonny Perdue and our local officials so we can get to Donald Trump and say, hey, let's keep this program going, Donald. Let's keep it going. And then therefore, we can keep this Farmers to Families box program going and we can create new ways of sustainability of produce in our industry. And then we also heard a little bit from Jacqueline Schneider, Deputy Chief of Staff, Senate of Agriculture Committee. Now, listen, it was kind of confusing for me, but she was talking about the continuing resolution package bill that was just passed this week that allows the government to avoid government shutdowns. There was a lot of key priorities in here. There was a lot of communication. Listen, I'm going to be real with you. There were some things I just didn't understand. I had to reach out to Molly Van Loo at United Fresh and ask the question. I mean, Molly even wrote me back and was like, yeah, it's a bit wonky, but I got to explain it to you. So again, I'm still trying to understand that. There was a lot of things in here. When I hear is just like important policies, you know, to put in place for public health, for schools, you know, all these committees, I'm sitting here going, wait, what? Where am I in this? How am I doing this? Who's doing this? So again, I think this is the key right here that Alex said, not yesterday, the day before, is that you got to get engaged and be able to ask those questions. Who do we ask for that? So I got to turn to someone who knows more about that, who's dealing with more of the constituents, who's dealing with our politicians. And right now that's going to be United Fresh. So we'll come back to you on that. I'm going to have Molly back on the line probably in the next few days or so. And I'm going to have her go over a little bit about some of these things that I didn't understand that we can better help you understand as well. So let's get Mark Munger on the line and have a conversation with him a little bit about the Farmers to Families box program and being part of United Fresh. And we're also here from our sponsors here at the Produce Industry Podcast, Terra Exports and Ag Tools. Hey, Mark, welcome to the show today.
Hi, Patrick. Thank you very much. Great to be with you during our virtual United Fresh Washington conference.
Yeah, it's my first time attending this conference. I told you off the mic, I've been kind of sitting on the sidelines for a few years, but this is actually the first Washington policy conference I've ever been to. So again, I'm reporting on it and I'm actually, you know, seeing what I can do for the industry and for my business. So it's actually good to be here. And I caught one of your talks today. So it was cool to hear you listen to your perspective. And I just come off another call about Farmers to Families, and then boom, you were talking about the Farmers to Families program. You've been involved, we said 2.5, right? So you're helping in this third contract, but didn't get awarded directly. So you've been a part of this since day one. And I heard the story, man. You were like 22 pages, night sweats, you know, figuring this thing out. Like, right. How crazy was just getting this thing all set up from the beginning, man?
It was crazy. I won't say we were struggling, but you know, I think we were all trying to adjust to COVID, and it was definitely having an impact on our business. We were trying to understand, we lost most of our food service business, within like a 3-day period. It just went from, 100 miles an hour to nothing, and trying to say, what are we going to do? We were excited when we heard about this program, because we really felt like it was really well suited for a company like ours that does some of our own growing, that has great grower relationships. And we knew our growers and even ourselves as a grower were struggling, and this seemed like a great opportunity, but it was daunting. We'd never participated in a government program before. And the government's RFP was 20 pages long just to try and understand it. And our application to USDA, when we finished it and we had 5 days to do it, was 30 pages long. So it was like being back in school writing a term paper. But, we really believed in the program when we heard it. We just weren't really confident the USDA was going to be able to pull it off, because they literally conceived, proposed, reviewed, accepted, and wanted to implement this program in less than 20 business days. And for the government, that just seemed incredible. And they pulled it off.
You know what? And I've been watching it since day one, and I reported on it. Is it going to be fruitful or fearful? And at the beginning, I think it was fearful to some. But I also talked about earlier in this episode as well, is we talk about 2017 and the Harvest Box program that they talked about earlier today. Ray Starling talked about it in the opening session, is that they tried to do this in 2017, but it was just before their time, right? So it is interesting. I think they had some of the nuts and bolts already put together behind the scenes. And then, they came out with it very quickly. But I think they had a gist of the program already put together. They just had to tweak it a little bit, right? They just had to maneuver in the right direction. And then round two, we saw it a little bit better. And then round three, it came out to be almost completely different than round one. But it, again, we aligned and we adjusted just like we did in COVID, right?
Yep, absolutely. And, it was unfortunate, I think, in the beginning, because it was a quick program, and my hats are off to the USDA, because they really handled themselves with tremendous professionalism. They were accessible. They were caring, all the things you just, think, oh, it's just this big government, but these people were really engaged and they were really helpful. And I know there's a little bit of controversy in the beginning, a couple of companies that nobody had heard of that got the contracts, and it felt like 99% of the focus was put on a couple of companies that probably stumbled into this thing and maybe got into it that, you maybe would question. But the real focus should have been on the 99% of the companies that were a great fit and were great partners with USDA and with the growers and with the food banks. Because, from the very beginning, our experience was that this program worked and everybody benefited from it.
Right. And that's the thing too. And United Fresh played a part in that. I mean, there was people on the sidelines saying they didn't, but United Fresh played a part in lobbying for a lot of this. Am I right? I mean, these are things that United Fresh is helping with, even through this Washington policy conference. I've been hearing things that they've been asking, such as what type of policy or what can we do? So if something is to happen, what would the administration like to see? And I believe those things will help the industry as we come together, right?
Absolutely. And you make a great point, Patrick. And I think I can't overstate this enough. So many of the things that happen that benefit our industry are the direct results of the consistent and steady efforts of United Fresh. Those guys are really our public policy experts. And I think sometimes maybe there's almost too much humility, but this program, I believe, would not have happened if we hadn't had United there. One of the things that's been really exciting for me in attending this conference, and I've been an attendee for probably over 12 years. It literally is my favorite conference of the year. But whether you're listening to the U.S. Secretary of Agriculture, Sonny Perdue, talking, or you're listening to Senator Debbie Stabenow from Michigan, or you know, just these very well-known, high-up, well-respected politicians on both sides of the aisle, they are actually saying, we are so appreciative of United for keeping us smart, keeping us informed. Like, the credibility on the Hill cannot be understated. And our net result as an industry, our net benefit, is getting programs like this that directly benefit us as growers, as packers, distributors, and yeah, so thanks for pointing that out. It really can't be stated enough.
Well, and we got to understand too, like I said, if you're in the industry now, and again, I'm understanding a little bit more about the Washington conference, and I keep relating this back to California Citrus Mutual, because I think it is, Mark. I mean, I think that I lobbied for the state of California before, right through Citrus, and Mary and I talk about that too. It's like United Fresh is a vertically integrated, right? They talk about the entire supply chain, not just one commodity or one category. And so it is. It's a lot of this is the same, and being involved and getting engaged is part of it, and telling your story, because no one's going to know who you are unless you tell your story, right? And even like I even talked about that earlier too. It's like when you're in sales, you got to tell a story. You can't just walk in and be like, hey, I'm here. We got everything for sale. No, it's the story. It's what where the company started, where you came from, how, you know, boom, boom, boom. It's stepping stones. So I think today too as well, high quality fruits and vegetables is what everyone is getting. And I think we need to continue that. With 96 million boxes delivered, over $3 billion of investment, and $1 billion of that going to Fresh, I believe you said earlier in today's call, that's important. And I think it's also important though, Mark, that we got to get a lot of the other categories of the commodity industries on board with this too, because I have reached out to a lot of people and said, hey, you know, are you part of this, you know, Farmers to Families Box program? And they're like, no, we don't need that. We don't need that outlet. And it's kind of like, oh, here we go, Mark. We got the beating of the chest here, because you've seen it. I've seen it. We've seen it in the produce industry. But I believe this is a program that needs to go forward, and we need to educate and involve those other categories. Even if you are doing fantastic, it is an industry-wide program.
Yeah, it really is. And you know, I think there's some obvious benefits to the program, but so many of the you know, I think less obvious program or benefits to the program benefit everybody. And, you know, I mentioned today on the panel talk that, you know, this program takes produce out of the marketplace and gives it to food insecure families who more than likely aren't going to go to the supermarket or go to a restaurant and consume these products, not in the state that they're in at the moment, unfortunately. And so, you know, we were taking small size produce that would have gone to school food service or lunch boxes or those kind of things that these growers had no marketplace for, with COVID kind of shutting the whole world down. And we had an avenue to take them, and the growers were getting compensated for product that they were really thinking probably in April they were going to have to throw away. And by getting it out of the marketplace, they didn't have to try and sell it somewhere cheap. So I think the program helps stabilize markets, and we all benefit from a stable marketplace. We all benefit from, you know, product leaving the marketplace and not interfering with our ability to keep markets strong and commerce going. So, you know, there really were some amazing benefits that I think affected everybody, whether you felt like you were in the program or not. But I think there's a lot of room for this kind of program to continue, and for a lot more companies to participate and be a part of. The sad thing is that food insecurity, especially with the unemployment rate where it is and with the pandemic still out there, you know, literally hanging in here, I don't think the need to help move good product to food insecure families is gonna go away. And just because they're food insecure doesn't mean they should have to settle for any less quality than those of us that fortunately right now are not food insecure. And I think that was just the beauty of this whole program.
Yeah, I agree. Equal distribution, and it is. It's fantastic. And it sounds like the president was happy about the program as well. I mean, listening to Sonny Perdue as well, our secretary, what did he say? He said the president was, you know, extremely excited that we were able to get out food to everyone, right? We just have to convince them now. And whether that's got to be more applications, some of these specialty fruit, remember we heard earlier that they weren't, they didn't get as many applications. Well, heck, we got to get more specialty, you know, crops giving applications out. We got to get that because there's money in the pot for them. There is. I mean, they talked about it. There's money in the pot. And if you aren't getting involved and submitting applications, Mark, the money's going to go away. They're going to go, oh, okay, well, if no one's applying and you're just fighting for the money, I mean, I guess you guys don't need it, right?
Yep, that's absolutely right. And I think that's why it's important to participate in conferences like United Fresh's Washington Conference, to really become advocates and pay attention to what United Fresh is asking of us as an industry, and reading the materials that they're putting out, because these programs are a huge value, and they really do benefit the fresh produce industry. These are not subsidies. These are not programs that are being given without, you know, asking for something in return. These are, you know, fair programs that are benefiting growers, benefiting us, and benefiting, you know, the end user. And I agree. I think that we have got to make sure that we are paying attention, that we are raising our hand and getting involved. And, you know, right now there are so many coronavirus food assistance type programs that are being proposed by Congress, that this is really the time that we need to raise our hand and say, look, if we are going to support industry, it has to be the fresh fruit and vegetable industry is essential here. And I would much rather be supporting programs that are getting fresh fruits and vegetables out into the marketplace than a lot of other items that could be included in these type of programs. So, you know, we have to advocate for ourselves, and we've got to talk with a united voice.
100%, man. I totally agree. And again, that's why I'm here, right? I'm trying to make a difference myself, reporting live every day on the podcast, showing our listeners and anybody who's following the Produce Industry Podcast, you know, what I think of it. And so far, it's been a pretty positive experience. And so was the June virtual showcase as well. I think that United is doing a good job. And I talk about it more in the podcast, kind of the do's, the don'ts, and everything else. But Mark, listen, it's been great having you. I mean, listening to you, 21,000 boxes per week since the first round. You guys have participated in this Farmers to Families box program, feeding Americans all across the nation with U.S. grown produce. And we greatly appreciate your support at United Fresh, in the industry, and with the United States Department of Agriculture, Farmers to Families Box Program.
Well, thank you, Patrick. It's a real pleasure to join you today.
Now let's hear from our sponsors.
Welcome to Terra Exports, a fast-paced, entrepreneurial, and innovative multinational fresh produce company with 8 divisions worldwide that handle fruits and vegetables across 65 countries. Did you know that Terra Exports was featured 3 times in Inc. 5000's fastest-growing companies? Terra Exports starts at the ground, literally, with the growth of the product at the farm all the way through distribution channels up into the end user. They take pride in their products arriving fresh and damage-free, and they're there every step of the way, working alongside suppliers and customers who share in their common goal. Visit Terra Exports at www.terraexports.com, as well as following them on social media on LinkedIn, Instagram, and Facebook. If you get on their website, you can also check their availability calendars and all of the produce that they have in store. When you join Terra Exports, you become a member of their global team of thinkers, innovators, dreamers, and doers who are bringing a fresh approach to the produce and supply chain industry. So reach out to Terra Exports today at terraexports.com. Are you ready to enhance your skills? Every day we are tasked to make fast, effective decisions to keep up with the fast-paced produce industry. At Ag Tools, we take the pressure off of gathering data to help make your day easier and more enjoyable. Connecting the supply chain with Ag Tools is unique, practical, and easy. Ag tools can be used from multiple angles of the produce industry, from farmers all the way to logistics companies. We call that 360-degree decision-making day after day. Visit www.ag.tools.com to gain more reliable and relevant data to see more, achieve more. And now, back to our show.
Welcome back, everyone. It's always great to hear from our sponsors, Terra Exports and Ag Tools. It was also great to talk with Mark Munger, and I look to have him on the show again in the near future. Let's get going with the networking event for the night. It started off by Tom Stenzel thanking everybody and talking about some of the polls that were coming up. We were going to talk about, one, who was going to be the president. 4 years ago, they did this exact poll, and it was a landslide. 80-20, Trump, hand over heels, had it. But today, they asked the poll question of, what are the most important issues for you in deciding who to support for president? Immigration? Race and ethnic inequality? Gun policy? Foreign policy? Climate change? Violent crimes? The coronavirus outbreak? Supreme Court appointments? Healthcare? Or the economy? Well, I'll tell you what, 63% said the economy. 48% said the coronavirus outbreak. And 46% talked about immigration. We did some breakout rooms and talked about these individually and what we thought they would help with the presidency, what would help us, what would help our community, and what we thought about some of the sessions earlier today. We came back to the master room with Michael Music always hearing his voice charming as ever talking over the group. Each of us gave what we thought, 62-38, 60-40, 25-75, what could be the result from all of the people here on the United Fresh call. So guess what? Drum roll, please. 50-50 is what it came out to. Out of all the members and attendees at the United Fresh Zoom networking event tonight, we voted 50% Trump, 50% Biden. Guess what? I'm not going to tell you who I voted for because that's my right. I hope you put your vote in. I hope you get ready and vote this upcoming election and get involved. I think that's one of the things I'm learning out of the United Fresh show here today and this week is about getting involved. And I talked about being involved in California Citrus Mutual back in the days, and that's where I learned a lot of this from. I've never stepped on the floor of Washington. I always was in Sacramento, California, lobbying there with our good friends at California Citrus Mutual. You know, another good point to bring up is I was listening to John Toner in one of the conversations, and he brought up that it's interesting to see the people that are involved versus that are not involved, how we give our percentages. I gave my percentage of who I thought was going to win 80-20, hands down, and they were like, wow, that's pretty impressive. And then if you go back and look at it 4 years ago of the 80-20, how could it be the same? Well, as John made me think, it's about being involved and engaged. If we're not involved and engaged, we think we're always going to be the winner. Our side is the winner. But actively being involved, you get to hear both sides of the parties and see what's really happening in America today. Not just what's been happening in your own world, because we are really quick to get caught up in our own world.
You've been listening to the Produce Industry Podcast with Patrick Kelly. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or Anchor to get new, fresh weekly episodes. For more, please follow us on Instagram and Facebook at the Produce Industry Podcast. Until next time, see you in the fields or on the horizon.